Ask the Podcast Coach for September 6, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
There it is. I love that music. Get you up and going. It's September. Holy cow, how did that happen? Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. That would be me, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting, where we come here every Saturday morning at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can find us right over there, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And I am lucky enough to be joined every week with the one, the only, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Always good to be here.
It is. It's weird. I started, like, last night, I forget what I was doing, and I was like, hey, it's almost time for Ask the Podcast Coach. It's like, I don't know, what are we going to talk about? Well, you get a good question or something.
The audience makes it fun, right? That's the best part, I think. You know, I've done a lot of live stuff. In fact, I do only live on the podcast. But and we have a chat room, and that's a lot of fun. But this kind of call-in threat is makes it even more fun, right? It's because you just don't know what you're going to get.
Know.
It's different than like a Google Hangout where you invite a bunch of people and people just pop in. So it's kind of cool. I look forward to it.
Yeah, speaking of calling in, that number is 845-262-2401. You can be right on here right now. No one lines. 845-262-2401. And got everybody out in the chat room, which is great fun. Here's a question. Is podcasting a winter sport?
In the sense that, like, in the summer, people take time off?
Well, they're off and they're out and about. I think it used to be, like, back in the day where, you know, everybody was out on the boat and I think in the days of the iPod, maybe it was a little more of a winter sport because you had to be, you know, connected to a device to hear it. And you had to synchronize and all that other stuff. Where I used to see a dip in the summer a little bit, and then you would actually see a bit of a, not a spike, but a rise in the winter because everybody was home and they would be listening on their computer. And now I think with, you know, what is it, more than 60% now are most of the downloads are on some sort of portable device, be it a pad or a phone or whatever. I don't know that's quite as much the case.
In fact, it might be the inverse because I think people are loading up their equipment to go on vacation. So I hear guys all the time saying, I get requests, a couple requests. Hey, if I wanted to download the video because I'm going to go on vacation, I'm going to be a spot where I can't stream it. Where would I go to do that? So I hear those kinds of requests as people are loading up their iPad or their tabs or whatever you want to call it. And getting ready for vacation. So I don't know. You know, maybe it's evened out.
Yeah. And we did have a question come in that I thought this would be good for the show. Fun filled discussion from somebody who doesn't have a podcast yet. She's brand spanking new. Kristen Sanders. She says, I have a random for you that I'm on the fence about, if you don't mind. I have a personal blog with a small following and really wanted to encourage as many people as possible to write a review on iTunes once I launch the new site and podcast. Perfectly normal. That's how you get on new and noteworthy, after all. I was thinking of hosting a drawing for anyone who writes a review and emails me that they did and giving away a gift card 3 to 4 weeks after the release. I really just want to get those people who might be on the fence about it or think, oh, well, other people are going to write a review. She says, I'm usually that person that thinks somebody else will write it, to actually sit down and write one. I would love to know what you think about this idea. I don't want it to sound weird or that I'm buying reviews, of course, even though, well, I guess I kind of am, though. Maybe I just write about the contest on my personal blog, different from my podcast website. That would be one thing I would go, maybe there's something to talk about, and not mention it on the podcast. Or do you think it would be okay to mention it on the podcast? So she's got about five questions in there. And I thought the first one was, it seems to be somewhat of a, I guess, accepted practice now to have some sort of contest with iTunes. The one thing I always like to point out, there's no way to contact the person in iTunes. So when it's Mom's, you know, Taxi 64, you go, congratulations, Mom's Taxi 64. You've won the Amazon gift card. 37 people could email you and you go, I'm Mom's Taxi 64. So that's, you're going to have them put their website in the review or something, because there's no way that I know of, unless somebody else, I know a lot of people have pulled it off where you have to sign up to the email list. And then there's all sorts of different ways around it, but there's no way to identify who's actually in iTunes. And people could, in theory, say that, look, I'm Mom's, you know, Taxi 64, and where's my free Amazon card? So what are your thoughts on quote, buying reviews.
Yeah, I think that goes in waves as well. And I lately I've not heard a lot of buzz about that. Everybody's just kind of mentioning it, you know, in their podcast, or just saying, hey, and give us a review over on iTunes or whatever. And that the giveaways have seemed to diminished some over the last, I don't know, 6 to 9 months, at least in the podcasts that I listen to. So it seems like maybe that model is slowing down a little bit. I don't think there's anything wrong with it if you can come up with a great way to reward your audience for it. So if those kinds of systems are what it takes to get your audience engaged in a way that they'll do those actions, then by all means. I just found in my audience, giveaways were almost anti-productive. And there was so much work and so many hoops you had to jump through. And the tech guys really didn't want to do that stuff. They're like, I really just want to listen. You know, we'll stop wasting our time with these things. We don't need these gadgets. You know, we're buying them anyways. So that was my audience. Your audience could be different. But it does seem like the wave is moving away from that now as opposed to moving towards it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have figured out there's no way to contact the person who won. And you're hoping that they listen, and, you know, it's kind of a weird situation. Oh, that's interesting. My call-in studio screen just changed, which means apparently I've dropped my own call. It says no calls, and I'm like, nice. Wait a minute. I'm on the phone.
Going to be that kind of morning.
It is going to be.
Steve Stewart says, incentivize iTunes reviews with good content, not giveaways. And that's a good... That's a good statement, you know, as far as, yeah, I mean, of course, make a good content, have them make their way to iTunes to get that content, you know, so they'll write the review, you know?
Yeah, you would think.
Go ahead.
Well, while I play with the phone,
yeah,
you did a little research on Amazon.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what you learned? Because we've talked about having, yeah, you know, we've talked about the fact that the terms of service is a little gray at times, and so you actually went through and dug through the terms of service, and while I sit here and play,
yeah. So you're going to do that. I'll go over it. Back on the August 2nd show. So if you go back to the show we did on August 2nd, there was a lot of talk about Amazon in that. And I actually listened to it a couple times, and there was a few spots in there I left uncomfortable. I was kind of like, we didn't do a great job of covering it. We didn't necessarily maybe know what we were talking about. The terms and services are a little bit gray, although they're less gray than I think we think they are. They're pretty good. But there were really three questions that were asked. And one was in the post show, which you guys, unless you come to the live show, you don't get the post show. So that one will be a bonus for you guys today. But there were really three questions that were asked. And one was by a caller. I think it was Remy that called in and said, how do I create a link without, you know, how do I create a link to a product or to the front page without, you know, because it doesn't seem like there's a generator there. So Dave will include this in the show notes, but there actually is. They give you very good instructions on Amazon on how to do that. And basically, I won't bore you because on video, this will sound horrible, but you basically create, if you want to go to the homepage at Amazon, you just create amazon.com/ and then that question mark, because that sets the rest of it apart. And then tag equals and your ID. It's that simple. So amazon.com/?tag equals your associate ID. And that associate ID is what Amazon gave you. It's they made it up out of your URL, and then it's got a negative or a minus 20 in it. And so that'll take you to the homepage if you want to do that, if you want to create your own. If you want to go to a particular product page, you can go to amazon.com/DP/the product number/?tag with your number. This will all be in the show notes, so you can go out and take a peek. But those are that was his question when he called in, and that is the way to make a short or a shortened. Because, you know, if you go to the product page, signed in with your associates as an Amazon affiliate link, and you go to Twitter or Facebook to get that link is super
monster long
and gigantic. Long.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that works too. One of the things I always say is before you put a link out, make sure you use the link checker. There's if you're in your associates section, there's a tab that says, and you drop that down and it'll say link checker. Anything you create yourself or anything you shorten, we'll talk about that. That's here in just a second. Make sure you run through the link checker. So there is a section of creating your own link that has that you can create without having to go through the Amazon tools to get it done. Second question was, can I shorten my links? And this is where I waffled a little bit, or we struggled a little bit, that we thought there were some items in there that Amazon said you can't use shorteners because it hides the Amazon, you know, it to the user, they can't see that it's an Amazon affiliate code. And so I looked in the terms and services, and Amazon does not prohibit link shorteners. So I might have led you to believe that in that interview that we did, or in that discussion that we did. And that's not the truth. They actually say we welcome the use of link shorteners in that. As long as once you shorten it, you're telling the users this is an affiliate link with Amazon. Yeah. So you can't just shorten it and leave it. You need to put some verbiage in there that says this is an Amazon link. Amazon has a URL shortener of their own that you could use, and then you don't have to mess with that. And it's a, it is a, oh, I didn't copy what that was, but if you go, oh, it's an amzn.to account that will shorten it for you. And if you use theirs, you don't have to ascribe credit to that. So again, the sections for both, I won't bore you with by reading this to you, but the instructions for both of those will be in a link that Dave will include in the show notes.
Askthepodcastcoach.com/43.
We're already up 43.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know where I started numbering, but I was like, all right, that's.
I think, yeah, at one point I said like 10 and you just started from there. So, and then the last thing, we talked about, having it yoursite.com/Amazon. And there is another section in the, it's called Amazon Marks, and it's all around what you can do with the word Amazon. And you really can't do much with Amazon. You don't create a group account with it. Don't make it a part of your login for anything. You know, that kind of stuff will get you in trouble with Amazon. But the subdomain is true. You can't put it in the domain, so you can't go Amazon.com or Amazon.yourwebsite.com, but you can do yourwebsite.com/Amazon. And in fact, that's great for them because it tells people they're going to an Amazon link. So settled. Links are in the show notes. If you want to go out there and take a look at exactly what they, you know, where those sections are. Trust me, if you're having trouble sleeping at night, just pull those things up. put me to bed a couple times.
Well, here's the cool thing about that. It's this little thing that the media doesn't do anymore. It's called reporting. And I was amazed. There was, if you hear that Google Voice is going out of business, somebody threw out that little tidbit in a LinkedIn group, and they did put two links. And I think they saw the links that somebody else said, Google Voice is closing, and here's the links. And they never went to read the links. So I was like, well, that'd be news. I'm surprised that's not burning up the charts. And I went over and read the links that the guy provided, and nowhere in those articles did it say Google Voice is closing. So if you hear that, I tend to think it's not closing. And even the people over there were like, wait, where did you read this? And the thread got real quiet all of a sudden. It was like, oh, oops, you know. So it's this little thing called reporting that sometimes you have to actually go.
Yeah, well, we'll have the exact links in there that'll take you to those sections there in the show notes.
Very, very cool. Well, hey, the phone is back up. So I don't know what was going on with that, but if you want to call in again, we'll talk about anything you want. 845-262-2401. That's what we do here. It's your number one source for free podcast consulting. How's that?
Well, with most of the guys we have in the chat room, they're as good or better than we are at what we do. So it's always good to get feedback.
If you find yourself bored and you're in the chat room, send out a tweet that we're here. That's always get that chat room hopping and bopping and rocking and rolling. So, but this week on the School of Podcasting, I got to interview the one, the only Jared Easley. And he's got a cool book called Podcasting Good to Great. And I found out it was just a presentation that he did for, I guess John Lee Dumas does private like hangouts for his Podcaster's Paradise. And so he asked Jared to do this presentation. And then later I went, wow, that's a really good presentation. I should probably repurpose it. So he put it out as a book. And it's really a pretty, to me, anytime a book can either A, inspire me to take action, or B, make me think or laugh, that's always a good one too. And he's just got some stuff in there, like how important it is. And we all kind of know this, like even, I remember the one day when John C. Dvorak sent me an email saying, last year somebody had said, hey, one of my favorite shows is the No Agenda show. And John recorded something that said, "Hey, Dave, thanks so much for spotlighting the show on your show." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I got a voicemail from John C. Dvorak." And, anytime you ever hear somebody's name in your show or, and Jared was talking about how, he had sent something into Cliff Ravenscraft, and he said he got to hear his name on Cliff Show, and just that we all get giddy. And he goes, with that in mind, we should all be, you know, if somebody sends you a review or things like that, how important it is to include your audience in the, in your podcast. 'Cause why wouldn't you want to make your audience giddy?
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I think, you know, I've been listening to Randy Cantrell for the last couple months. I just love that guy and what he does from a podcasting standpoint. And he's mentioned us now twice in his podcast. And one, he talked about one of the programs that we've done here on Saturday morning, and just in his most recent podcast. And, you know, I'm driving home and I hear him say my name on it, and it's a good moment. Yeah. You're just like, oh, how cool is that? And so it does remind me of the importance. And I'm terrible at names. I got to get better. I've gotten to the point where when somebody calls in here, I write it down so I don't forget it. Because you start listening to their question and then you're like, oh my gosh, I have no idea who this is. You know, that's terrible. That's a bad way to do it. And so I'm bad. I'll hear things and ascribe them to the wrong person. And, you know, I've got to get better about that.
Hey, I needed to ask, am I still getting the weird high-pitched whine when I talk?
You were earlier.
Okay.
I don't hear it now.
Because I actually worked with Mike Phillips a little bit last week, and that's the problem. It's intermittent. We've pretty sure it's a ground loop issue. And Mike actually sent me a link. There's a cool quarter-inch ground loop thing that Behringer makes. But the bad news is I have to wait till it shows up where it's really loud so I can start unplugging stuff and troubleshooting. Mm-hmm. And about the time I think I got it, I move and then it goes away.
I haven't been hearing it in the recordings, which is interesting as I go back and listen. But I'm not hearing it like when I first picked you up this morning, I heard it. But not hearing it now.
Interesting. And people are amazed. They're
making fun of your word giddy.
Giddy. What would be another word for giddy?
Happy.
Happy.
Excited.
Excited, yes.
Hey, speaking of that, we forgot to talk about this last week, and maybe it's okay because it actually launches this next week. But National Podcast Day is coming up here, and Steve Lee's behind that. Is that right?
Yeah, Steve Lee, yeah. And I believe it's somewhere in California or the state of California. He went to like his local representatives and said, "Hey, you know, we have National Pancake Day and National Whatever Day. Why don't we have a National Podcast Day?" And they said, "Okay." And when he was at the House of Blues, they made the announcement at Podcast Movement that, yeah, September 30th is now officially National Podcast Day. And I believe the website, this is so sad because I actually just wrote a bunch of stuff for it. Yes, nationalpodcastday.com. And if you want, you can actually help contribute. Just take your phone and go up to a stranger and say, "Hey, what's your favorite podcast?" And no matter what their answer is, you know, you have to let them know, "Hey, this is going to be on nationalpodcastday.com." But, we're getting those kind of videos, and I've got a couple articles that we're working on, like things that podcasters should know. But it's really to promote podcasting and the fact that there's a lot of people left that are, you know, most people have heard the word podcast, but we're trying to get those people to actually go listen to one. And the fact that if they go to listen to one and they go, "Wow, that was awful," you know, maybe dig a little deeper, because the good news is everybody can make a podcast. The bad news is everybody can make a podcast, and they're not all gems. And yeah, it's something where Steve came up with the idea, and it's he approached myself and Daniel and Ray and Nick Zuberling, and we've all been kind of trying to just get the word out. But yeah, the official National Podcast Day is September 30th. And based on last week's conversation that we have, I am launching, relaunching, clevelandpodcasters.com, which is basically just a meetup for Cleveland podcasters. So if you are in the Northeast Ohio and find yourself in the Garfield Heights region, which is a suburb of Cleveland, I've got a place lined up with computers and screens and all sorts of internet. So that's the plan to...
And Dave, you inspired me too. We did the first Omaha podcasters meetup here just last week. Two of us.
There you go. Woohoo!
Yes. And we pulled it off, and we didn't intend. It wasn't really intended to be a meetup, but I had run into a local podcaster here on Twitter, and I said, "Hey, let's just get together." And he's a law student at Creighton, and so I said, "Hey, let's just get together." And so we met at a nice restaurant here and had some chatting about podcasting, and so I looked for, because you have Cleveland. No, you have Cleveland Podcasters. Is that your
ClevelandPodcasters.com? Yeah.
So I looked up OmahaPodcasters.com, and it is available. The question is, will I drop $15 and actually create something else for me to do?
Like, I need that was my thing.
Something else to do, right? So,
hey, we actually have a caller. Let me wait till that cuts up. Yes, ending in 23.
Yes, it's Steve.
2378. Maybe it is Steve. That'd be cool. Ending in 2378. What's your name and what's your question? You're on with Jim and Dave.
Hey guys, it's Steve.
It is Steve. There he is. So
wow, I thought you were Mr. Technology now.
Well, I am when it's my friend. But it was cool. Everything was fine. I just looked over and it's like, you're on hold. I'm like, no, I'm not. I haven't touched a button. So yeah,
well,
man.
At least you could have on hold music or something.
Yeah. Well, what happens when that? What have you been listening to the last minute and a half?
See,
you're supposed to be able to hear the show. I'll have to go back through my settings and double check. But Steve, tell us about National Podcast Day, buddy.
I think you guys summed it up really nicely. And, you know, this has been an event. We actually tried to kick it off last year, if you remember, Dave. But, yeah, it was just too late in the year and too much work to do. And here a year later, I mean, we're still trying to stitch up all the final things to go live Monday, but it's coming along very nicely. And as you mentioned, Dave, the real important things, even though we have a lot of podcasters are going to be working with this and enjoying the event, is that the real purpose of this is to reach out and touch people that have never heard of what a podcast is. And let's get them hooked. Let's get them as a part of our art and into our community so that we can even more advance and grow what we're doing with podcasting. So as you talked about, we're going to have many different various things that we can do throughout this month and especially on September 30th. But, you know, as we've been promoting, our tagline is to start the conversation, and that means talk to somebody. You know, so many times, guys, I think as podcasters, we certainly do a lot of talking internally to our own podcasting communities, but we really need an outlet and avenues and thought processes on how to really get other people involved in what we're doing with podcasting. So that's kind of a synopsis of it. So Monday, we'll launch and we'll just kind of wait and see. One thing I do got to do is turn off notifications on my phone because so many people are getting involved now. My phone's just constantly buzzing. So
that's cool.
It's going to be a great event.
That's good news. Yeah. I was so bummed because I thought, well, I'll start. I get probably anywhere from, I don't know, 7 to 15 people in a class. I'm like, I'm just going to start. On break, I'll just start interviewing all my students. And this week, literally, almost every single one of my classes was online and I can't see my students. They can see me, but I can't see them. And I was like, I need live people in front of me. I can't take a video of a screen. So,
hey, Steve, could you give us a couple real practical things that you're looking for the average podcaster that you'd like to see them, you know, do or they can do to support National Podcast Day?
Yeah, actually, I think there's a couple things. Let me bring up my notes here real quick. One of the things we do want to do also is for people to come up with their, you know, their own concepts, their own things. But some of the things that certainly they can do, when we open up Monday, there are going to be images and banners and that kind of stuff that you can post on your website. You could change your social media profile with, you know, the National Podcast Day imagery to help promote. We have an audio and video promo that everybody's welcome to insert into their shows to get communities involved in understanding more of what we're trying to do. You know, recommend as Dave's doing now to host some kind of a meetup maybe do some kind of giveaway based on celebrating of National Podcast Day. One of the things we're really trying to do by using the hashtag Podcast Day is anything you're doing with podcasting, whether it's pictures of your studio or whatever the case may be, use the hashtag. And we're going to have a live social stream that is going to pick up all the information based on that hashtag onto one screen. So you'll be able to see, you know, Twitter and Instagram and Google Plus and everything that's posting from this hashtag, so people can not only read about it, but, you know, there may be something that sparks an interest to you. So, and we're also going to have various other things that podcast listeners can get involved with and do. And then the other component of this is also information on education, understanding, and history of podcasting.
See, I muted myself because I know when I type, I'm very, very loud. Yes, the history was actually fun. I actually helped work on that particular thing. And I actually want to add more to it, because the one thing I couldn't find was the 12,000 names that the New Media Expo has had. And I just found an article with from Rob Greenlee that it was originally this, then it was that, then it was this, then the next week went back to the previous one. It's like that was always kind of fun to play with. But,
and we're going to have all that information available, which is really kind of interesting. You know, that's kind of another place. We need a place to kind of archive or put all this information. I mean, we've spent quite a bit of time, Dave, as you know, consolidating and writing up all this information. And it honestly can become a source site for that kind of information.
Yeah, the one thing I wish I want to make is right now I have learntosubscribe.com, and boy, does that need updated. It's how to subscribe in iTunes. And I'm like, I really wish we had a nice, here's how to subscribe in Stitcher, here's how to subscribe in iOS. And those right now are the two big players in the game, just to show people how to subscribe. And it's easier to do a screencast of I guess I could take screenshots and go that route.
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. Because trying to record a live video of your phone, for me, it's I don't have the camera stuff for that, because you've got to kind of zoom in so you can see what you're doing, and then you have the whole glare problem because of the glass, and you know, it's like, well, we need somebody who's a little more video savvy than maybe I am to get that done. But yeah, I'm with you on that. We just need to tell people the first one's free. Just like drug dealers. We'll get them hooked. Everybody's doing it, man. Come on, listen to a podcast. What are you, chicken? Just throwing a little.
That's right. Well, you know, in this being the first year, I mean, there's be a lot of wish we had done this and that kind of thing, but we're going to build off of it and actually form a legal organization for this. And, you know, you mentioned some of the legislators I'm involved with, and we're still working with that. I don't know if we're going to have it done by September 30th, but, you know, to make it an honest-to-goodness, signed, sealed, and delivered event.
That'd be cool. Then we can all go. Remember back in 2014, the very first, and of course, you know, by 2030, we'll have parades and, you know, balloons and the whole nine yards. It'll be great. It'll be awesome.
Steve, thanks for doing this. This is and for spearheading something like this. This is great. I'm looking forward to seeing the site on Monday and some of the tools that are available. I've got a trailer spot that's open on my YouTube channel that I don't currently use, that I will probably, if I can get a hold of that video, download it and put it in that spot so that it can play for the next 3 weeks in the trailer spot. That'd be great.
That's a great
idea. Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate everybody's support. And honestly, if anybody has comment on what we can do better, have ideas on how to assist in promoting of our art and what we do, please let me know and we'll be glad to attempt to work it in. And, you know, happy birthday, podcasting.
There you go. And Steve, where's the best place to find you?
Normally in my office, but if you're not going to knock on my door, then probably the best thing to do, because I am right now moderating all the social media for National Podcast Day, on Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus. However, if you go to National Podcast Day, there is a social icon there for email, and you can actually email me direct at National Podcast Day.
There you go. And you're also the man behind Two Thumbs Up Media. And help me with the end of your URL, netcaststudio.com?
Netcaststudio.com, which is my podcast network. And for those that aren't in our podcast directory, twothumbsupmedia.com, where you can submit your shows as a part of our directory service.
There you go. Awesome. Well, thanks for all the hard work, Steve.
Yahoo.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the work.
Hey, no problem. I got a long weekend ahead to finish, so you guys enjoy the rest of your show.
You too, my man.
All right, take care.
That's going to be cool. Take care. Thank you.
Yeah, I love what's going on with this. This is exciting. I'm, you know, it's just one of those kinds of things. It's cool. It's something you can point towards. It's something you can work with. I mean, it's just a great movement. So if you're listening to this, get behind this and let's make this a great, first run.
Yeah, it'd be, especially when we get the links and the promos and things of that nature. That'd be cool. Cause I had fun. There's a, one of the other offices in this building is Cruisin' Times magazine, and it's all about, you know, hot rod cars and things like that. And the guy in the hallway stopped me and goes, "What the heck is a podcasting thing? What do you got going on in here?" And he opens up the door and he sees all the microphones. He goes, "Oh, you do radio?" And I go, "Oh, kind of." And I go, "You're into hot rods, right?" And I pulled open my phone and you know, pulled up the iPhone app and did a quick search. I go, "Look, let's type in hot rods." I go, "Here's all the different shows you could be listening to." And it was kind of interesting because on one hand, I think he was really excited that there was that much content, but this is also a guy that does a paper magazine. And I could kind of see both sides of the story, like, maybe. And I told him, I said, "If you want to start a podcast to promote your magazine," I go, "you know, let me know and we'll get you going." But, it was fun just to, I haven't turned somebody onto podcasting, a brand new, like face to face person in a while. Cause it's always fun to go, "What are you into?" Pull up, you know, the podcast app, do a quick search and go, "Here you go. Let's listen to," and they go, "So it's like radio?" "Yes, except it's customized for you and you can listen to it whenever and wherever you want." And they go, "Wow, that's cool." So it's always fun to bring somebody new. And then they're
I was at a conference this week. I was at a tech conference. So these are all developers. I mean, these are software developers. They're techie. There are a lot of them, very nerdy conference, about 600 or 700 of them. We set up a table. And I do this twice a year for Gallup. I set up a table. We did interviews. And I did 16, 20 to 30-minute interviews with these tech guys, ask them about their sessions. By the way, if you want to create content and you can get a conference to let you do this, ask them if you can be their official kind of podcast source for what they're doing. Because think about this. You have keynotes and session speakers who already have presentations ready. You can just talk to them about those presentations. And if the conference lines up with something that you're already interested in or it lines up with your podcast, I now have 16 tech interviews that I could use in any form or capacity to be able to do that. And the benefit or the bonus for me, it's part of my job.
Nice.
You know, so I Gallup gave me the time to go do that and those kinds of things, but it's not difficult. About $400, maybe $300-$400 worth of equipment. And it's kind of fun and you look cool. You know, I bring a big light, like, you know, one of these big umbrella lights, and people walk by the table and they're like, "Whoa," you know, you really create a buzz. You got microphones and I see people staring at us. You know, it's kind of cool. The point in that is that you can really, you know, you can still find people there who have no idea what you're doing. And I was like, "Yeah, I podcast for Gallup." And the guy went, "Podcast?" I mean, I couldn't believe. I was like, "Really? You hadn't really heard of a podcast or what that's?" And it wasn't one of those. It was somebody walking by. But it is getting more and more common as I've been talking to these session leaders, keynotes, stuff like that. And I'm telling them, "Hey, we're creating bonus content for the conference." That's another new thing that I kind of birthed this time. Instead of it being live from the conference, we weren't getting all that much traction from having a live feed from the conference. But as soon as I mentioned bonus content, "Oh yeah, we're creating bonus content for the conference," everybody's eyes went, "Oh yeah, I get that. I see that," yeah, you know, kind of deal. So it's getting better, but we still have ground to cover.
Yeah. Hey, Addie has a great question. She says, on the subject of meetups, "I held my first podcast meetup 2 weeks ago." That's so cool. "It was great, but the location was hard to get a hold of. Any ideas where to seek for a great location? I want a meetup to be half session, half brainstorm, half chit chat." I see where Miss Eileen has already said local colleges and universities are. You can try. What about libraries?
Yep.
I know our library has a couple meetup rooms where you can meet there. I know in terms of meetup.com, I see where people in some cases will meet at like a restaurant, which is depending on what the meetup's about. I mean, if you're looking for computers to be around, it's kind of tough. I lucked out. I talked to my boss and I'm like, hey, can we use a classroom on Tuesday nights once a month? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, I'll be sure to clean it up and this and that. He goes, yeah, just, you know, I'm like, and they are official sponsor of the Cleveland Podcasters. So.
Yeah. Until you outgrow it, you know, type deal. Look for local nonprofits that might have a conference room that you can use. That's another way.
Yeah. So, hey, we have another caller on the line and hopefully if you could mute your computer pretty please while you're talking on the phone, ending in 8316, you're on with Dave and Jim.
Hi, it's Miss Eileen.
How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Great. Well, my question today is for a friend.
Okay.
In fact, his name is Wade Harmon. He's at wadeharmon.com. I interviewed with him on an HOA last week. And what he's doing, he's repurposing his HOAs as a podcast. But, which I was surprised when I saw this, he's doing it as a video podcast because he took someone's advice and he's using Podbean. So I invited him into our podcasting technology resources community and told him to ask. And I specifically called you out, Dave, for him to ask, because I know there's a problem with Podbean.
Well, here's the thing.
But I couldn't remember.
Here's the thing that, because they've done that from, I think somebody said they now have a redirect, so that's fine. They don't mess with your file name, so that's good. Their stats are a little meh, but if you're not super into stats, that's okay. The only thing that makes me worried about Podbean, so in reality, that means they're an okay host. What I don't like about Podbean is, A, I can't name a single person over there. I can't find an address for them that I can verify is an actual address. So they're very mysterious onto, I mean, the thing that's always found very weird about Podbean is I invited them on the School of Podcasting. So think about that. Hey, I would like to get you in front of your target audience, people that need a media host. And they're like, no, it's all right. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, well, can you tell me where you are? And that went unanswered for a long time. And I was like, really? All I need, you know, I'd like I'm building a resources section, and they wouldn't tell me where they were. And I was like, that's weird. And then they finally answered Canada. And then later, we were talking about it, and Mike Phillips did some research, and I think I found an address, and then Mike found that address is, you know how people will buy like it's not a fake address. It's an address that you can almost like a PO virtual. Box. Yeah. Virtual address. Virtual. Because I then went to Google Earth and looked up there that address that was provided that came up, and there's nowhere is there a sign anywhere, which doesn't mean they're not in that office building, but there was no signs of a Podbean anywhere. So my only thing is, you know, for me, the media host is like it's one of the backbones. You've got your website and then you've got your media. Those are the two main ingredients of a podcast that you have to rely on. And so for me, it's asking to rely on somebody who isn't willing to come to the table and shake my hand. It's kind of weird. So that's my big thing. I mean, I've talked now with, when I've had questions at Spreaker, I've got great support over there. Libsyn's always been awesome. Blueberry's always been awesome. And now we know there's a voice at Blog Talk Radio. Now they have a long way to go, but at least they're present. So to me, I'm like, there are a lot of companies out there, and it's like, that's, you know, if you want me to put my media there, this is all just opinion. For me, I'm not comfortable putting my content on there. Now, for the record, I have one fake podcast on Podbean just to play with it, and their stats are pretty crappy. They're pretty awful. That would be the other one. I don't think their stats are anywhere near any one of Blueberry, Podtrack, or Libsyn. It's very hard to get like a, you know, where you can kind of see your last month's downloads. You have to pick what episode you want the stats on, Or you can say, show me all my stats, and it gives you one bar. It's like, oh, you can see where you've had 13 downloads of this episode. Then you go, okay, what about the next episode? All right, that one's had 22. And then when you say, show me all of my stats, it shows you, okay, what did I say, 20 and 12, whatever, 32 total downloads, but not what each one has. So their stats are pretty subpar. And I have no idea if they're doing, you know, independent IP addresses, how they're filtering out their stuff. So to me, I'm just like, look, it is cheaper than Libsyn and Blueberry, but come on, cough up the extra $3. You can do it. So they're to me, just not my favorite.
Yeah. And there's actually a second part to the question.
Okay.
If he was to now, because I think he has about 7 or 8 episodes up there. Mm-hmm. So if he was to now say, okay, I'm going to switch and just have audio only. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was trying to encourage him to move the show over to Libsyn, but I don't know if he's going to do that. But is that going to be a difficult transition for him to go from the video to the audio? Or is it just one of those things where he just has to let his audience know, okay, now we're just going to move over into audio?
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would be a big deal. You know, those people that are expecting video that all of a sudden get audio. So I would address it maybe in the last video that, hey, as of next week, we're going to go audio and give people a heads up. But the cool thing about your subscribers is they're listening to whatever you throw out, and it's up to them to either stay subscribed or not. So I don't know that it would be a huge transition because they're already tuned in. It's just you're changing the format, and those that like it will stay, and those that don't won't, unfortunately. Jim, any insights on that?
It depends on how many podcasts they have and how they're set up. If you're going to move over in the RSS feeds, I mean, there's a lot of factors in there and what the definition of difficult is. So, you know, anytime you make a transition, it's difficult. I think you want to go someplace, land on it. We've said before, I don't want my main media source to be podbean.com or podomatic.com or audioboo.com or, you know, fill in the blank, right? Spreaker.com. I want it to be mydomain.com. That's where I want my media to be. So that's the best case scenario. So, you know, Libsyn or Blueberry or some of those other, you know, that are doing that, they allow you to have your content with your website. So I guess that's all I got. Podbean, it's interesting. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and Podbean is really popular among churches. That seems to be the I see a lot of church podcasts out there. And it's so when the recommendation engine, because I always wonder, how do people hear about these things? And so I find that someone found out, hey, their church uses Podbean, and so I'm going to use it too. And so that seems to be where the growth of Podbean is. And I've got an account there. I logged in. I've tried it. They've made some major changes to make it kind of cool, but
here's the other thing that's a little squirrely in my book. It says right here their top stations are twit.tv, Quick and Dirty Tips, CNET, and Showtime. And I know for a fact Leo Laporte is not using Podbean. And so
he might be sending one feed over there, though, Dave. He might be. And at one point, you know, like on SoundCloud with Leo, they haven't updated some of their shows in a year or two on SoundCloud. They were there. They tried it out. So SoundCloud could say, hey, we have Twitch shows, but they haven't updated them. Mm-hmm. Let me go back on this question a little bit. You were saying, Eileen, you were saying that they were started video and they're only going audio. And why are they changing?
No, I suggested that they change. I felt like it's an HOA, but it's really just talking heads. And I don't see the added benefit of making it video. And, you know, other people that were actually on the panel on the Hangout were kind of agreeing with me that, you know, one of the benefits of having the podcast is people can listen on the go, they can multitask, and you're already having the video on YouTube.
Yeah.
So what's the added benefit of having the video on iTunes? But,
brainstorming. Because I recently, that was my thinking for a long time. Is like, hey, I provided it on YouTube. If you want the video, go to YouTube and get it. And that's a minimum. I think even if you don't think people are watching Talking Heads, they are. So at a minimum, leave it on YouTube. I mean, I wouldn't take it down from YouTube for that.
Oh, but it's a hangout on air, yeah, so it's going to be on YouTube.
The second piece is I just created a video large and a video small for a podcast that I've been doing for 4 years that is talking heads and wondering what kind of engagement I would get in it. And instantly, those I've been getting 25, 30, 40 downloads for those videos every single month since I've done it. And I've gotten notes back from my listeners saying, thank you for doing this. I've been waiting forever for you to create a video feed that I could get either via RSS or iTunes. So even though you think don't do it, I think there is a space for it. And I think listeners will appreciate it if you have that video RSS. And you got to make sure you crunch it down to the right sizes, because you don't want to take what just comes out of YouTube and throw it into a video. I mean, it's a big file. You want to compress that down some. But I would go a little bit different. I'd say, no, I'd still continue to provide a video, even for talking heads. People like to see people. And so I'd recommend they keep the video feed.
Okay. Well, good. It's good to have, two sides of the coin.
That's what Jim's here for. He's here to disagree and start problems. But I mean, that's what, I mean, that's what we do here. We basically keep the video on YouTube and then throw the audio on, every place else. But, then again, we're not very attractive.
Yeah, I think the time, Wade's show is really cute, especially when he has me on as a guest. But no, just kidding. Anyway, I think that the length of time of the podcast has something to do with it as well. Like, his shows are probably about an hour or maybe 45 minutes. So I think he got some advice from Jay Baer, because I see that Jay Baer, he started doing a short video podcast. I think it's like 5 minute video podcast, and he's using Podbean for those. Mm. So I think that's where Wade got that advice from. And so it kind of makes sense to me for a short video, because that was the other point that I brought up. I don't think people want to download those big files,
right?
You know, on their phones.
Well, that's what I was telling.
So I don't know how Podbean works.
They do. Don't believe that. They do. It's crazy. I know.
Okay.
That's what I thought too. I was like, no, they're not. They don't want to. And I'm hearing back from my listeners, and they're like, no, I want to. Let me choose that option, right? Mm-hmm. If they don't really want to, and you provide it, and you're best, guess what? You're not going to pay for the bandwidth, so, because nobody's going to download it, right? Provide it and let them make the choice. What they want are choices. They want to make the choices. Don't decide for them whether they want the video or not. Let them decide, but provide it for them. That was counterintuitive to me.
And I see now that Podbean has a mobile app, because, in fact, I'm going to post that link in the chat.
Yeah, they do.
Because when I went to his show, it's actually the name of the Podbean is relationshipmarketing.podbean.com/mobile. So I'm actually on my computer. I'm not looking at it on mobile. So I don't know what it's like on the phone.
Well, here's something that other people may not say as openly as I do. You ready for this one? I was wrong. I went over, because I hadn't logged into Podbean in a while. Here are stats. And you can see a trend here. Now, obviously, on audio, you can't see anything. But basically, I'll describe it. It showed the total downloads. And then if I were to scroll down, it showed how many downloads per episode, which I just said they didn't do and they didn't used to, but they have updated their system. So here again, I'm going to have to go back and look again.
Maybe something we have to look at again. Well, yeah.
I know.
Okay. I'm looking for your updated review on the show.
Yeah. I know I got a thing from them. They did a survey. They surveyed their users and they said, how comfortable would you be, recommending them? And I said, who are you? Where are you? Let me know who you are and where you are, and I'll think about it. But in the meantime, I don't trust you. And I just put that in the survey. I'm like, but they were talking about, because Podbean's one of the places, much like Libsyn, where if you want to sell your back catalog, they're kind of set up. So if you want to sell the actual podcast, and for the record, most people don't sell their podcast. They sell their services and they're promoting other things. They don't actually make money with the media, but it's set up to do that. And I wish I could find the clip. I have a clip somewhere where Podbean says you can buy advertising on this podcast for, and I'm not making it up, 1 cent a download or 1 cent per. It was ridiculously cheap, whatever it was. I'm like, I'm not going to put advertising in my show for, you know, basically a song and a dance. I'm like, that was kind of ridiculous. I'll have to find that. But I know for a while they, when they first started, like, you can have advertising in your show. Now for that, I remember this, you had to publish at 128 stereo, which not everybody does because it makes your file bigger, which means you have to have more storage. Hence, that's their incentive to do that. But if you wanted to do that, because the ads that they insert into your podcast are 128 stereo, so I understand why, but it was kind of like, all right, well, now I got to have more storage so I can have the right format to have advertising. But anywho, I will have to go back and look, but I stand corrected. They do have a way to see, much like SoundCloud to a certain extent, you can see the last few episodes you had. So more things to look at. Did we talk about that on the show or was that before the show, Jim, how all these different companies are trying new stuff? Like in Podtertainment magazine, Todd said that Blueberry's working on a way to where you'll be able to see how much of your show was consumed. And I know right now Libsyn is working on some things, the way they handle images so that your iTunes album art can change per episode. I think they already have that. I think they just tweaked something for that.
Libsyn is also working on a plugin.
Yeah. So awesome. Well, Miss Eileen.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for, oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Miss Eileen, tell everybody where we can find you.
You can find me at basicblogtips.com or anywhere on social media as Eileen, and that's I-L-E-A-N-E.
There you go.
Thanks so much for having me on. And, you know, we have to look out for our friends. And I knew that you knew something about Podbean. I knew there was something tricky about it. I couldn't remember what it was. But maybe that's something that we need to look at again.
Go back and look.
And Dave, the other thing that I would like for you to do, if you do talk about it on one of your shows, is the pricing, comparing the pricing for like a video for like a 1 hour show versus like a Libsyn or wherever else you recommend. Okay.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Okay. Thanks so much, guys. Talk to you soon. Yep. Peace.
And we've actually got another caller here, ending in 1200. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
This is Jeff Roney. Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Good. How are you, my man?
Doing good.
Jim, we're talking to Jeff Roney. It's the Jeff Roney, man. That's cool. I'm excited. Wow. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Waking up over here on the West Coast.
Excellent.
And so I had a question, but it's actually kind of like I need some psychological help, because I know one of these days, because I have all my media files hosted on where I host my website. And I'm dreading the day that I'm going to get an email. So you've got to get all your MP3s off our service. So here's what I would like. I don't want to talk about money at this point, but what I want to talk about is, what are the steps that I can do now to prepare myself for the shift over so that it's easier?
I usually name my files some way that identify what it is. So either for me, it's usually a date so that I can look at my blog and go, oh, this is one from September 3rd. This is SOP 46, blah, 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 09-03-14. Okay, this is the one from September 3rd. Or something that identifies it, because that's going to be the hassle, is eventually somewhere in your future, you're going to copy and paste a lot. And so if you can find a way so that the MP3 file or the video file somehow identifies what blog post it came with, that'll make your life a whole lot easier. Jim, any other insight?
Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Or for people that never do that, do a spreadsheet now and match it up. So,
yeah, right? And just realize the sooner you move, the less copy and paste you got to do. I've had to help a couple people with it. It's not hard. You just go to, because you can go to Libsyn or Blueberry, and you say, here's my RSS feed, and they will suck all your media into their system, but you then have to go to your system and copy and paste. And there might be a plugin that lets you do a find and replace, like find this URL and replace it with that. You have to be careful with that, because I did that once and it changed all the URLs on all my images as well. And then I went, oops. So it does get kind of tricky, but I believe there are some tools that, that let you go in if you can get that specific and say ending in .mp3. If it says, you know, mywebsite.com/uploads, change it to whatever your Libsyn or Blueberry or whatever it is, Podbean, whatever you're using, change it to that. So there might be some ways to automate that. But any way you slice it, it doesn't matter. If you're moving in any, you know, if you're moving houses, if you're moving from an apartment, if you're moving media, if you're moving a website, any moving is always a polite pain in the butt. It always is.
Right. So they don't ding you initially. You can basically upload every MP3 file that you've initially used to their service, right? So, because I know that monthly there's this, you can only upload this based on what you pay a month, right?
Right. Well, they will ding you for the amount that you upload. So they'll say, how many files do you have, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, well, it's X amount of money per gig or whatever it is. And then you'll say, okay, well, I have 17 shows. And they'll be like, okay, well, it's this much per gig. And they can probably give you an estimate and say, okay, based on this, your first month would be blank. And then every month after that would be whatever the 15, 20 bucks it is.
True, but I mean, initially, when you send, I mean, do I have to do it as much as I pay a month to upload everything, or can I upload everything at first, and then they go, okay, now that you're all here, you know, here are your keys to your, you know, service here, and then every month after, you only get a certain amount, right?
Exactly. Or so, so let's say I had 200 episodes, I could upload them and say, okay, well, to upload all 200 to our system, it looks like you have, you know, 3 gigs of information. It's, you know, whatever per gig. So your first month will be, you know, whatever, $37. And you're like, great. And then after that, and then after that month, you say, then I want my plan to be the $15 a month plan. And yeah, so the first month you'll have to kind of bite the bullet, but every month after that, you'll have your certain amount that you can upload and you'll have your certain space. And of course, if you use the coupon code SOP free, you can get that month free. I don't know how that works. That's a good question. That's a good question.
I love that.
Yeah.
I should have just stuck with Blog Talk Radio, maybe.
Oh, ouch.
No, no.
Don't say that. Yeah. Hey, let me throw in.
I wouldn't.
Jeff, real quick, before you go, let me throw this in. We were talking about naming conventions. So I like to name my show names as short as possible. So, like, I have a show called Cyber Frontiers that just becomes CF. I have one called Home Gadget Geeks. That's just HTT, Home Tech Tips, Home TT, right? And then I do the show number. So it's HTT001, HTT002. That way, if you do got a copy of that, then you know exactly. You don't have to monkey around with when was it. You know exactly where it lands with the various posts that you have going. The nice thing with about Excel, too, is say you need to copy and paste a bunch. You get to this point where you need to copy and paste a bunch of them. If you go into Excel and put the URL in there, and then put the show number and then drag it down, you know, put a couple of those in order. Excel now is smart enough to understand repetition, and it will then auto-populate all the links that you need at that point, and then you can just copy and paste them right out of Excel into, I assume you're a WordPress guy? You're doing it in WordPress?
Yeah.
So you can copy and paste those if you do need to move. Now, you're talking to a guy that did that at Show 100. So I had to move and go into every single post and update every single one. Now, I use it as an opportunity to clean some things up while I was in there, but I did. I spent about 6 weeks, 3 hours of Saturday, cleaning everything up and kind of making it the way I wanted. So if you're going to change that, that's kind of why you want to get on a host provider that's going to host them long term for you and kind of set it and forget it, so to speak. So I would say make your decision sooner than later and get on that host where you know it's going to be permanent.
One last thing before I go, is Dave, I love your post about the 27 hoops you have to jump through to get onto iTunes.
Thank you, kind sir. And, just baby step.
You need to do, yes, but I think personally you should do one for this type of situation.
Okay. How do I move
what
my,
to do, what to do?
Okay. I'll definitely throw that on the list.
Because that will be happening for a lot of us, I think.
Yeah. Here's what to do when you get the email that says, hey, guess what? You can pay $70 a month, or you can move. Yeah, that's no fun.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Well, Jeff, where can we find your stuff?
Well, I am at Once Is Frozen, because we cover the Once Upon a Time television show on ABC. And since Frozen is now becoming a part of the show, we decided to get a new URL just for season four. So it's onceisfrozen.com. And it's fairy tale characters in the real world facing reality. And it's not just Disney stuff, but there's a lot of levels to it. It's kind of like Lost for fairy tale fans or Disney fans. So check it out.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, sir.
And
take care.
And we're going to start the music, man. Man, that was a quick hour.
I know, it always goes so fast.
That just flew by. So, yeah, thanks to Steve from NationalPodcastDay.com. Thanks to Miss Eileen. Now I got to go play in Podbean. Okay. And then
I messed with that a couple weeks ago, actually, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about it in the post show.
Yeah, and well, I wanted to ask you about Audio Boo. Maybe we'll talk about that in the
yeah. There we go.
Because I know we had a Twitter exchange there with that, every Saturday we are here. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, and this show is brought to you by the School of Podcasting. Use the coupon code ASK20 to save off your first month, and you can just chat with me all you want then. You don't have to wait till Saturday to do that. But thanks to everybody for tuning in. And Jim, where can everybody find you?
Super simple, theaverageguy.tv.
Awesome. And again, you can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. And till next week, insert tagline here. Yes, start a podcaster 10. And go get somebody addicted to podcasting. So thanks so much. And enjoy the rest of your weekend. Go Browns! Or not. And I'm turning the wrong knob.